So resurrection verbs. I need to tell all of you who are grammaticians or grammaticians that I'm not doing every single verb that is in this passage. But there are some key verbs that we need to be aware of in the story of Christ's resurrection. And I'm not even going to do them in the order that they appear in the story, because we need to understand the order in which we as people of the resurrection do what Christ commanded us to do. The first thing that we need to do, the first verb we're going to look at, is to receive. We need to be in that posture of being able to receive, being open to the reception of the Holy Spirit. Because when we receive the Holy Spirit, we are then empowered to do the work that Christ calls us to do. We also, through the power of the Holy Spirit, are able through faith to believe in that which we cannot see. So the first verb we do as Christians, as followers, is to receive. To receive the grace of God, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And once we receive that, then we get the second verb, the verb that Christ used with his disciples. The first one he uses when he says, "I am sending you as the Father has sent me." I am sending you. So to be Christians, those who have received the Holy Spirit and by faith believe in Jesus Christ risen from the dead, we are not called to sit and stay. We are called to go. We are sent out. We are sent out to do what? I am sending you as God sent me. So what did God send Jesus for? God sent Jesus for the salvation of the world, for the reconciliation of the world to God. God sent Jesus so that we could all receive salvation. God sent Jesus so that we could all be forgiven of the sin of a broken relationship with God. So our second verb, the first command that Jesus gives to the disciples after they see him resurrected, is send. We are being sent out into the world to proclaim the message of salvation. But then he tells us, or tells the disciples, and through them tells us, that we are to forgive. The third verb is to forgive. That our task as a sent people is to proclaim the message of forgiveness. But he goes a little bit deeper than that. He really challenges us, because he says we are to forgive the sins of any, which would be to forgive the sins of all. And when we do that, they are forgiven. But if we retain the sins of any, they are retained. Do you think God wants us to retain sin? Do you think God is sending us so to be the judges of those who are in a state of sin? God is sending us simply to proclaim to those who are in a state of sin that forgiveness is available. But he's also calling us to forgive. Forgiveness is one of those very, very difficult things we do as Christians, as followers of Jesus. I think all of us, at some point in our present or in our past, have people we don't really want to forgive. And we hold on to that unforgiveness. And when we have a broken relationship with others, we really have a broken relationship with God, because in our hearts, we hold unforgiveness and bitterness. What God asks us to do is not to befriend the one that we need to forgive, but to release that unforgiveness and brokenness in our own heart to God, so that we have restored our relationship. And we can lift them up to God, that they can restore their relationship to God. Our relationship with them may not come to that place of friendship ever again. Because God never wants us to be in a place of harm. So I want you to be clear about forgiveness. Forgiveness is what we are called to do, but we are not called to befriend an enemy who can harm us. We are called to forgive, not welcome them in. When they are at that place that they have accepted their relationship for Jesus Christ, then we can open wide our doors and bring them back into the body. But while they are in that place of harmful sin, now I'm clear here, harmful sin, we don't close our doors to sinners who will not harm us. We do close our doors to sinners who can harm us. We still pray for them. We still love them, but we have to be sensible in our love. And we have to be honest in our ability to forgive. There are many people that we can think about who we'd rather retain that sin, would we not? We'd rather hold on to that because we'd really like to see them, if the expression would be correct, to burn. But that is not ours to judge. Is it? It is God's to judge. And when we hold in our hearts those things that are dark, then darkness begins to creep into our lives. But when we open ourselves to the gift of love and forgiveness, the light begins to shine forth from us. And we give that person or those people or whoever we are angry with to the Lord. And the Lord is very capable, brothers and sisters, of taking care of that. We can let go of it and give it to God. And God can transform the blackest heart to light. So we are sent to proclaim the message of forgiveness. We are sent to forgive. If we can believe. If we can believe. But sometimes I think we're like Thomas, aren't we? We get filled with doubts. We get into those places of struggle and darkness in our lives. And the next one is see. The next verb is to see. Where can we see the light of God in the midst of our own personal darkness and pain and suffering? And this is the wonderful thing about God through Jesus Christ, is when Thomas was in that place of doubt, God gave him exactly what he needed. Christ came into the midst of that room that was locked, the doors were closed, and he was there. And he said, Thomas, see? And remember, he told Mary, you can't touch me. But he said to Thomas, go ahead, stick your finger in the holes. Stick your finger in my side. Believe. Thomas didn't need to. But God provided all he needed so that his doubt could move to belief. And then Thomas knew and could call God both Lord and Savior. So the verb that isn't in here is the verb of faith. But Jesus talks about it. He says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. It is through our faith, maybe that's a noun. Yeah, they're shaking here. Oh, I moved to nouns. But through our faith, we can believe that which we have not seen, but have felt its power, either as a light breeze in our lives or one of those devastating winds that just blows us away through the power of God. Jesus came in the midst of the disciples' life at a time when they were very fearful of everything. He came into that room and he blew them away. But he gave them the same verbs that he's given us. He sent, blew the Holy Spirit into that place and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then he sent them out to forgive. And it'll take us a few days before we get to that sending story. But can you imagine being there in that place, in that upper room, and feeling the power of God and the Holy Spirit upon you? Aren't you ready to go? Aren't you ready to tell that death has lost, that life has won, that love has won? But the difficult task is to go out and to forgive. So we're challenged this day to do that. We have a story to tell to the nations. We have a song to sing to the nations. We have a message to share with the nations that death has been swallowed up and life is the victory, that darkness cannot overcome the light, that God and love will win. So brothers and sisters, do not let unforgiveness darken your soul. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen. So many verbs and one noun. Because we're